Welcome, everybody. It's September 21st, and we have an amazing show for you tonight. Our guest, her name is Marianne, and she is a former Illuminati asset. She'll describe exactly her role in the Illuminati. She has since broken free, and she's willing to tell us a little bit about her experience and about their agenda. We're going to be careful not to name too many names in order to protect Marianne, because she's taking a great risk. Marianne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi, Marianne. Thanks very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Tonight is the vernal equinox you mentioned.
Yeah.
What would your former acquaintances in the Illuminati be doing tonight on the vernal equinox?
This is a very important holiday to them. It is what many on the calendar consider one of the top six holidays. They are celebrating the harvest. This is a harvest festival, and in that festival, they will commit sex acts, and a human will be sacrificed.
Now, is this just one human in one location, or is this taking
place?
Not at
all. No, this will be done all over the world by those who are involved.
So are we talking about hundreds of rituals in which humans are sacrificed?
I would say tens of thousands, if not more.
Where do they get these sacrificial victims?
A lot of them are specifically conceived for the very purpose of later being sacrificed. They have women that are called breeders who... there's actually no record of them being alive. This is a perpetual thing that they do. And all these women do is get pregnant so that they can have children that will be sacrificed. In addition, a lot of the missing children we hear about are also victims in these rituals. And it's not always children. It depends on what particular ritual they're doing. They sacrifice adult men at the Friday before Easter.
What is the intention? What do they believe they're achieving through these human sacrifices?
Primarily they believe that they are gaining power. It is the desire of Lucifer, their god, the one that they follow and are working to satisfy, is to shed blood, because they know that there is phenomenal value in blood, or that's their belief. That's also a belief in Christian faith, but that was mainly accomplished through the sacrifice in the Old Testament of animals and then in the New Testament of Christ. But basically, they believe that they will be gaining power, and often, as a part of that ritual, they will eat the heart, and they prefer to have it still beating. I know that's pretty gross, but that's
okay. Marianne, thank you, Marianne. As you can hear, the music's on. We'll be back in 3 minutes. We're back with Marianne, who is a former Illuminati asset. We'll be talking about her role in more detail later. Marianne, before the commercial break, you were talking about how Illuminati's members are celebrating the vernal equinox tonight, September 31st. You're talking about how they indulge in human sacrifices. You also mentioned that some kind of sexual rituals. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, that's considered side benefit, if you will, in that circle. They obviously get gratification from that, but they also believe that there's power, spiritual power that they gain through doing that. In addition, it serves another purpose. Often it's done to young children, and so that's used to instill fear, also to create a sense of being a part of the group, that you're different. Sometimes they'll tell you you're special because this is very special, and that makes you important. It also creates a sense that you can't tell. There's a lot of negative reinforcement if you told someone who wasn't in the group what was occurring. So there's many purposes that serves, and it also serves to bring about, for many children, especially prior to age of four, a sense of being able to distance themselves, where they actually block the pain, and then when they experience other forms of pain, they also block that. So they actually live two separate lives, if you will. There's the life that they have in the cult, and then there's the quote-unquote normal life that they live with their family that's just like everybody else's family, or that's the perception.
Marianne, who are these people who commit these acts during the daytime? I mean, generally speaking.
I apologize. I'm having tremendous difficulty hearing you.
Did you hear my question? Who are these people during the daytime? Are they school principals? Are they
businessmen? Oh, yes. Actually, they serve in a lot of variety of jobs, and most certainly education is a very big one, because they have access to children. Also, daycare workers, medical providers, particularly, say, pediatricians, nurses, therapists, and a lot are in the psychological community because they want to make the person doubt that what they experienced was really an accurate perception of their life. But they're in all walks of life, and I think that's really important to note, that they're in the banking industry, they're in the legal system very prevalently, law enforcement, judges, government agencies, for example, people who award contracts within local, state, and federal agencies. They're very heavily involved in the legislative branch of our United States government. They're in the three branches of our national government in the United States, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. In other words, they've networked in a lot of different professions, primarily so that they can cover for each other. They're also very involved in technology, in the life sciences, in the computer industry, military, very heavily in the military, in the religious organizations, in a lot of the charitable organizations, research areas tend to have more than other professions, but they're everywhere. So to say that they're just limited to a couple industries would be inaccurate.
Now, how do these people fit into our understanding of Freemasonry?
Well, first of all, Freemasonry, on one level, is a organization that markets itself as a group of men that get together and socialize and provide each other with business contacts. But on a deeper level, there are a number of positions within Masonry. They're called levels. And as one works their way up, they become aware that they are worshiping another god other than the Christian god, because they recruit primarily among Christian people. And as they move forward, their involvement in various types of crime, particularly crimes against children, become much more prevalent and frequent. So, for example, if you would talk to a level one Mason, somebody who's just joined, they basically really don't know what they're getting into, and they don't know that there are meetings that they're never invited to and rituals that are occurring in their lodge that they have no access to. So, and there are other organizations that also have people on very low levels of involvement, and basically these people are outsiders. They'll never attain a significant amount of power. They probably will never participate in a sexual scenario or in a sacrifice scenario. They're usually what I guess I would term are throwaways. They're useful to get access to various pieces of information. A lot of times money will change hands, or maybe a promotion will occur if they're willing to help accomplish a certain task, but they will never make decisions that will impact large numbers of people.
Marianne, how are people chosen to participate in the kind of rituals you described?
Well, I think it's really important to note that, first of all, this is not a group that you, you know, sign up for because you saw an ad in the paper. This is something that your ancestors participated in and have proven their loyalty and effectiveness. And this is something that goes on for generations, and oftentimes it's something, first of all, that you're born in. If you're going to be a high-level person in the organization, you're absolutely born into it, and you're trained and you're studied throughout your childhood to see what your aptitudes and talents are and your level of loyalty and commitment are. And then based on your individual positive and negative, they select tasks that would be appropriate where you can perform well for them. And people who are in the Masons and the Illuminati, also referred to as the Light Bearers, can sometimes come through various faiths. The Mormons in particular have very close ties to the Masons, and I think that's part of the reason why they are so well-versed in their ancestry. Also, the Nation of Islam, the worship of Islam, has a lot of parallel belief systems, as well as what the Illuminati believe. I'm not sure if I answered your question well.
Let's just step back for a moment.
Okay.
Looking at the United States, who are these families? Are they're generational Satanists?
Yeah.
Are they prominent families?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're people that are in the news on a daily basis. And sometimes it's the people behind them that are even more powerful. They're the people that you and I will never hear about on the news. And I'm sure that there are people who have no awareness. They're not the kind of people that would seek out your show or pick up a book to learn more about this, but have maybe a suspicion that all is not well. Just intuitively, they know that this person has an agenda that's not in the best interest of the country or their peers. Hey. I think a lot of the failures that you've
Mary Ann,
seen,
we have to pause for a second, for 3 minutes exactly. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is fascinating. Okay, we're back with Mary Ann. Mary Ann, before the break, we were talking about the relationship between the Illuminati and Freemasons. Can you tell, and you were saying that the Illuminati are old families, generational Satanists.
Yeah.
So how do they fit in with Freemasonry? Are they the elite of Freemasonry? Are they like 33
yes,
degrees
essentially.
And above?
Yes, that's a very good descriptor. These are people who, at least in the European arena, that is definitely true. The world has basically been divided into 10 regions with different groups being in control of those regions. And in North America, most definitely, they are people related to the crowns of Europe. And also, Europe has been united in the European Union. We will be seeing something similar occurring here and in South America. And all those individuals are very interrelated through marriage and various relationships.
Now, Mary Ann, every time I mention the Illuminati, I get letters from people who say, I'm just covering up for the Jews. It's the Jews. And the Illuminati don't exist. And I'm just basically a front man for the Zionists trying to cover up their role. Is this true?
Actually, I find that pretty funny. I would most certainly, my first thought is those are the people that are writing you are the people that you're exposing. It is as if you were to say that every Muslim is a terrorist, every Christian, speaks in tongues. I mean, there's just no way to delegate and assign a group of people as being solely involved in domination when it comes to religion. In fact, Masonry is very similar to many of the teachings in Islam. So I find that really interesting that they would accuse you of that. Realize that their agenda is to keep people in the dark so that they can do what they want to do.
But Freemasonry is based on the Jewish Kabbalah, and Jews have claimed a connection with Freemasonry. Do you have any particular knowledge about the relationship between Jews and the Illuminati?
Yes. First of all, any good Jew knows that there are different thoughts or what would be comparable to a denomination in the Christian church. And Kabbalah is, number one, a very, very involved in the Freemasonry. It's just as Wicca and paganism and some of the other esoteric groups, the New Age group, all play a role in the Illuminati and their agenda. So, yes, there's absolutely some people who are Jewish who have a lot of control in this. And definitely, you know, we are familiar with those people that have been named, and that's accurate. But to say all are involved, that's really unfortunate, and it's distracting from the real issues.
Well, you've mentioned Mormons, for example. So there's and some Muslims. So Nation of Islam, you've mentioned. So there's various groups contributing to this Illuminati. You mentioned the Illuminati agenda. Is this financial breakdown that we're seeing now the financial breakdown that they predicted will lead to martial law?
I believe so. That is why I'm on this program. I feel that very strongly. Will it come tomorrow? I don't know. Is it coming? They're definitely pushing that. There are other forces that could come and maybe postpone that, or they might postpone it themselves if they have a reason to believe that they're not going to be able to pull it off like they desire to pull it off, whatever that means for them. But definitely, this is a very big attempt in shifting financial resources from those who are not in the Illuminati to those who are a part of it. And make no doubt about it, they have been planning this for a very long time. This is not a surprise to them.
Well, this is a good moment to pause for 3 minutes, and then we'll have a 17-minute segment without commercials. Thank you, Marianne. We'll be back in 3 minutes. We're back with Marianne, and we are talking about the martial law scenario, which involves a financial breakdown, civil disturbances, then martial law, rounding up of dissidents. And I'd like to know, Marianne, why they would do something so extreme when they've got everybody under control and people don't even know it. They're far easier, are far more easy to control when they're ignorant of the fact they're being controlled. They're certainly going to know they're being controlled when there's martial law. There's something like 300 million guns out there in the United States. How do they really think they're going to be able to pull this off?
Honestly, I think that's an excellent question. I'm not sure I can fully answer that. I do think that there is a power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think that they just want to treat people as inhumanely as possible. I think that they want to see who can be the king of the hill. I really don't understand, after you have your first billion under your belt, why you need 2 billion. It really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and that's part of the reason why I'm not a part of their organization. I don't know how. Maybe it's more or less the sense that they can. You know, people who are sociopathic don't make a lot of sense, and that's why it's hard to determine what a sociopath is going to do. And I definitely think that the people in the highest levels are typical sociopaths. If you do any study in that realm, I think that they fit the description pretty well. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I do know that that is something I heard all my life. And so I know it's an agenda, a desire. I know they want to control Jerusalem. They are very superstitious, in a sense. They believe that they attain power through raping people. They believe that they attain power by killing people. They believe that certain lands are spiritually relevant, and I know that they want to control Jerusalem, and this is part of how that will come to pass in their perception. It's domination. It's simple. Beyond the money, it's domination.
It's pure power. Now,
absolutely.
Marianne, you've indicated that you've associated with people, the top echelon of the Illuminati, perhaps not the very top, but certainly the top echelon of people we would know about.
Yeah.
What are these people like as individuals, speaking in general terms?
A lot of them, and especially I think this is why they hold positions that they do, a lot of them are people that you'd never guess. They're people that are very good in front of a camera. They're very good at public speaking. They have a way about themselves that's very charismatic, and that's specifically why they're often chosen for the particular position that they're in, is because we all have aptitudes, and this is something they study from very young ages, and something that they are constantly grooming. If you show an aptitude for maybe solving puzzles, you might be directed into medicine or directed into law. As I said, they're in all areas of the government. And so people who play well with others, to use a common phrase, are people that are in very commercial contact type jobs. They might be a CEO of a company or a public relations person or a salesperson, but particularly in government, they're more than likely your congressman or your senator. And this is at all levels of government.
Marianne, what percentage of Congress, and I mean the Senate and the House, do you think are members of the Illuminati?
Well, that's hard for me to gauge. I have been out for a little while, so I don't have all the people in mind that necessarily I traveled in the circles that they did, but I would say 80-90% is very safe to say, particularly when you're considering the House of Representatives. In the Senate, I think it's pretty much a given that if you're a senator, you're definitely a part of it.
What about the candidates for president and what about the candidates for president and the vice president?
Well, it is my experience that you do not get to serve in that position unless you're involved and totally sold out to their agenda.
In a previous conversation, you mentioned a certain monarch, and how this monarch was, I think you said, a piece of work. Can you elaborate?
Yes. A very, very powerful person, and has had a phenomenal influence in the way things happen here and within Europe and probably other parts of the world as well. Very much related to world leaders all over the world. If you study history, this would be very obvious to you. I consider this person to be absolutely terrifying. Every interaction I've ever had with this person was killing. And there's
in general terms, first of all, you've heard stories about shape-shifting. Is there anything to that?
Uh-huh. Yes, there is. And I'm saying that as a Christian, and a lot of Christians will probably turn off your program here. Yes, absolutely.
Can you, in very, very general terms, so that you can protect your identity, give us an idea of how you would have contact with someone of this power?
Well, I was groomed from very early on to be a political figure of prominence here in the United States, and as a result, I had extensive interactions with people all over the world, primarily in Europe and Southeast Asia and North and South America, and this person often figured into those meetings, and I was asked to do things by this person. I refused. There was a very well-known crime that happened. I am trying to be vague. I think people can fill in the blanks. I was tortured extensively by this person. As a result, I had a great desire to die as a result of what was done to me. But I'm still glad I didn't do what I was asked to do. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
You answered it very well. Did the Illuminati essentially give up on you then?
No, actually. I was involved in some other scenarios which were equally shocking and covered up. And basically, what finally happened, I was advised by some other people who have lived to leave. A lot of people don't live if they try and leave. My best friend didn't survive. And they basically told me that I needed to document my experiences and let the people involved know that should I disappear or commit suicide, that the film and the documentation should be released to media outlets, and the police should be given that information so that the people who are involved would be implicated, whether anything happens to them. They've done away with some other people, so I don't know, but I certainly want to give them the sense that I won't be forgotten. I have people that are loyal to me, and that decreased the amount of harassment a great deal. Now I just basically get death threats and I'm followed pretty extensively.
You mentioned that you had something to say about the role of religions. Are all religions pretty well infiltrated by the Illuminati? I think you mentioned
absolutely.
The Catholic Church.
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have a relative that was in the banking industry in a very high position who was asked to go to seminary so that they could be a resource to the cult. This person started daycare in three different states at multiple churches. All those children were molested in the daycares, used in pornography, used in rituals, and this person has been outed to the church. The church, it's a mainline denomination, is aware of what they've been accused of. There's been no investigation whatsoever. There is also a lot of involvement by the Catholic Church in particular. I don't want to by any means portray that every Catholic is involved. Again, that's just like saying every Jew is involved in the Illuminati. That's just not true. But the priests are, by and large, very heavily involved. I personally have experienced all sorts of type of rituals within Catholic churches, within a Catholic nursing home by nuns. Many nuns are now even coming out and saying that they do not worship God, the Christian God, but rather they believe in a goddess. Some of them worship Mary specifically. Others worship a female creator that has nothing to do with the Bible. And basically, the Catholic Church really hasn't tried to shut them down. But I think what's really key is I believe, this is my perception based on the things that I've had access to, I believe that the job of the Pope, not necessarily the Pope that's in place, but the position of Pope will probably be the religious leader, the Antichrist, as referred to in the Bible. I believe that will be the person that will achieve that designation. And I think it's very likely to happen soon. Based on my experiences, I've been to the Vatican, and it's rotten at the top for sure. And they've infiltrated all religious organizations. So to name a specific one other than the Catholic Church, because of the reasons I just cited, probably isn't the best use of our time.
Marianne, just say no if you have no information on this.
Sure.
Is Russia and China and Iran, are they all part of this Illuminati network?
I believe all countries are a part of this. The small ones, if they are not a party to it, the leaders are either assassinated or they disappear. Or they get arrested for something and end up in a U.S. prison for years. You don't say no.
You mentioned that the homosexual agenda had something to do with the Illuminati plan. We know that a lot of Illuminati members are homosexuals, are they not?
Yes.
I'm curious, why would they have an AIDS epidemic that killed so many homosexuals if they're homosexuals themselves?
I think, notably, I think that this is something they have a great deal of control over. So I think they have some mechanism in place that they protect those who are working on their behalf. I think there's several reasons why this is becoming much more prominent. Number one, I think they really want to create a sense of isolation. Even in homosexual relationships, they tend to have a lot of partners. You're seeing that in heterosexuals as well. There are a lot of people that practice bisexuality. But a sense of where we are, culturally speaking, people are, by and large now, there's more single people that are adults than people that are married, and that's a dramatic shift from even a couple decades ago. And
Marianne, can I interrupt? Marianne,
certainly,
can I interrupt
you?
Yeah. What you're describing is symptomatic, and I've described that. After the break,
okay,
though, can you tell me whether this agenda was ever mapped out for you? We'll be back in 3 minutes with our concluding segment. Okay, we're back for a short concluding segment with Marianne. We have about 3 minutes, Marianne.
Oh, wow.
My book is all about, my book, Cruel Hoax, Feminism in the New World Order, is all about how they're trying to turn us into homosexuals. But that's all written from the point of view of looking at their propaganda and looking at the effect of the propaganda on marriage and the family and the birth rate and so on. Was this policy ever enunciated to you?
Yes. Primarily, they are doing anything that they perceive as rebellious against the Christian God, that is heavily taught against, and therefore that's a means of blackmailing people if they don't follow the program that's been set for them. And there are other things I think probably your book covers very adequately, so perhaps we should move on to something else.
Okay, well, let's move on to the issue that made you come forward.
Yes.
And that is your fear of martial law. And
yeah.
in a previous discussion, you were saying that we should prepare.
Yes, absolutely. I think, first of all, we need to prepare and look at what's really critical, our values. You know, a lot of people that came out of the Holocaust had some pretty insightful perceptions. I don't know if you're familiar with Martin Niemöller. But he talks about how the Germans kept coming for different types of people. He didn't stand up because he didn't belong to the communists. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a unionist. And then basically he said, they came for me, and he was a Protestant, but there was nobody left to stand up for him. So, you know, we have, as a group, we need to realize that we own ourselves, our community, a cohesiveness that only we as a unit, as a group of people, can decide to stand up to this. You know, if they declared martial law, I think one of the great things that we could do as individuals is basically block the roads with our cars, just get in our cars, and whenever that martial law, the curfew takes place, you know, just block the roads. They can't arrest everybody. They back down, and there have been times in the past that they were planning to roll out something, and they backed down because they saw that people weren't going to swallow it. It's just like the chips that they're planting in the elderly and in our animals. They want to do this to everyone. And if we stand up and say, no, this is not acceptable, then we have a chance of postponing their plans. But I think also, as individuals, I think we need to try and get out of debt, and I think we need to take that very seriously. I think we definitely need to have gold and silver on hand. I think that it's important that we, you know, maybe stock up on the important things, such as
what about guns and ammunition, Marianne?
I think that would be something a wise person would do. I think
Marianne,
that this is...
Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, this is the time. This is the time. We are in a critical phase of our lives, and I think we have to take that very seriously, and I think that they might do things with the air. They're already doing a lot of things with the air. They might pollute our water. They might do something else that will cause a lot of fear and people to isolate and just react. And I think we need to keep our presence of mind and think about how it benefits their agenda and not succumb to what they tell us to do.